All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean Mack, Daddy McCool.
I was going to make sure you said the full name correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. Decided to put a little middle name in there today.
If you're listening just to the audio version of this, you're missing Sean's Mac Daddy middle name on his screen. So I like it.
Yeah,
so it's the Mac Daddy. Is that as if you don't have a cool last name enough? You have to add in Mac Daddy along with McCool.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm gonna start doing that on all my Zoom calls as well.
Yeah.
Why not?
I like it. Why not? Helps you separate.
I think you should. You could like put a middle name, you know, that is appropriate to whatever Zoom call you're on, right?
I think so. Yeah.
You know, just. Yeah, that can be fun. You know, there's copywriters that sign their emails and stuff like that. Whatever the email is about, they kind of use their middle name as to tie into the email. So they're like, you know,
I like
whatever.
It.
Sean Leadmaster McCool or whatever.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm excited. You told me right before the show what we're going to be talking about, and you called it the reverse interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I was like, that's good. Let's go with that. I have no idea what it is, but I'm excited.
So we're no guests today. We're doing kind of a random flight. We're going to be talking about some takeaways from a book that I mentioned briefly last week, Brag Better. There's some cool takeaways and also a strategy for winning big clients. And as Sean mentioned, it is called the reverse interview, right? The reverse interview.
Yeah.
So you have to know what you're doing to basically flip the script and interview the company, right?
Nice. So that's from the book.
No, this is not from, not from the book. There's some good takeaways from the book, but that's from my own. And then
that's what I thought in the original, but then you tied the two together. So it's just you.
Yep. Just me. And then some, I've got a few takeaways on how to gain an advantage over your competition. So really, and some of those can be taken from the book, but I added some of my own steps in there as well. So
very cool. All right. Well, what are we consuming today for our beverages?
Man,
what libations are we indulging in today?
Well, I've got a winner, I think. I'm not sure, but it is from the Kentucky Barrel Series. So that's a sure bet that you're going to get something good. But this one's new. This is a new series. We haven't had one of these on. This is a pumpkin barrel.
Oh, you did not go pumpkin in August.
I did go pumpkin.
Oh, come on, dude. Too soon.
It's not pumpkin spice, okay? It's pumpkin barrel. All right?
Okay.
Pumpkin bourbon. Pumpkin bourbon, whatever. Not pumpkin spice.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
I don't know, man. Kentucky, they've got their series has been pretty spot on. There was one
I just think August is too early for anything pumpkin related. So for those of you watching online, like, Hit me up in the comments. Is it too soon or not too soon for anything pumpkin?
It is for, certain pumpkin stuff.
Yeah. You're gonna hold to that pumpkin spice theory, huh?
Pumpkin spice. Yeah.
Yeah. Way too soon for that, but I think it's too soon for anything pumpkin.
We'll see.
We'll see.
The one bourbon barrel that I've had that I did not like was their strawberry bourbon barrel. I think that was last year. Wasn't a huge fan of that. So outside of that, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, strawberry bourbon just doesn't sound right.
Yep.
So, well, I've got, as you're pouring that, you're going to read yours first. Go ahead and read a little bit about it.
Okay, here we go. A barrel-aged brewed with Kentucky source pumpkin richly spice. Oh, no, they did spice it up. They spiced it with cinnamon, nutmeg, and allspice. Great. As the ale is aged in fresh bourbon barrels, the sweetness of caramel and vanilla are imparted upon the brew and complement its spicier base. It's 10% ABV, and it's robust. It's a limited seasonal beer, and it makes for a flavorful sipping experience to slowly warm you up this fall season. Well, I can't think of anything completely opposite of what I would be doing right now. I need to be cooled off, not warmed up. It is
for sure
hot today.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see how it does.
That's right.
But all right. So on my end, I've got a St. Arnold Brewing Company Old Fashioned.
Oh.
So this is a barley wine ale aged in rye whiskey barrels. So we're on the same, kind of the same page today.
Yeah.
With orange peel thrown in. This is, so basically they had a English style barley wine ale that they did in rye whiskey barrels, and they loved it. It reminded them of an old fashioned cocktail. So they went ahead and just went all the way and added an orange peel to it, to round it out. And
why not?
This is 12.9%.
Wow.
It's
that's not old fashioned.
Yeah. So like,
oh, look at that.
Kind of a nice,
it's pretty flat. It's nice, I mean, no head. Look at, okay. Let's compare.
No head at all.
It's a similar color. Yours is a little bit darker.
Yeah. Definitely got that barrel aged look to it. So yeah, let's, I guess cheers and let's
cheers.
All right. Yeah.
Oh man.
I like that. I would not say it tastes like an old fashioned in at all, but I like it. It's because of 12.9%, like you wouldn't drink many of these. Cause it's got that, you know, it's got that heavier, it's not like heavy, like a stout, but it's definitely got that punch to it.
Sure.
When you drink it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the old Scotch ale. Mm-hmm. That kind of that malt almost taste to it. Yeah. Mm. So it's got a little, it's funny cause it didn't have a head, but it's definitely got some like fizz and maltness to it as well.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, I like it.
So what do you give it?
I'm kind of in that same range I've been hanging out in for, I kind of feel like I plateaued with my beers and at a good plateau, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like working out at the gym, you get to a good point, but it still feels like a plateau. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to say 4. I'm going to go up a notch. I'm going to say 4.6. I've been saying 4.5. Yeah. So I'm going to go with 4.6 because this is a little better, but it's not quite a 5 for sure.
Yeah. Last week you were 4.5. You've gone up a decimal.
A notch. Yeah. A notch.
I'm going to have to downgrade. I'm going to go backwards. And I got to tell you, the spice, here's what kills this. Here's where they went wrong. You're right. It is. It's not the pumpkin. The pumpkin is good, but I'll tell you what's not good is the spice, the nutmeg and the spice that goes along with that. Cause you can taste the pumpkin, at the beginning, and it's got a little bit of, it's got a little bit of sourness to that mixed in, but then on the back end, you taste the cinnamon and the spice. And
right.
Just doesn't feel right. So, you know, bad timing maybe, but I think I were to drink this in the fall, I'd still probably give this like maybe a 3.2. So not, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's just not my thing.
Seems like a around the fire pit kind of beer a little bit later. Yeah. Like I said, too soon.
The nutmeg.
Too soon.
Oh, nutmeg and spice, cinnamon. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's,
all right.
All right. Press the wrong button there. All right. Yeah. So let's jump in. You've got most of the material. I'm going to provide commentary and jokes and you,
so real quick, I mentioned a book last week and it's pretty good. It's, there's some pretty good takeaways, but a book called Brag Better, The Master of the Art of, Fearless Self-Promotion. So it got into a few of the takeaways. If I can turn, oh, by the way, I got to show you, man, I wrote my notes on my
look at that on your remarkable tablet.
I haven't tried to translate them yet, right? So I don't know what that'll look like.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't like is once you translate, you can't go translate them back. I actually like keeping the handwriting.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Somebody gave me, one of my coaches gave me an exercise and I decided to write it in there. When I got done, I was able to just like tap all the pages and send it to him.
Oh, that's good.
And he was like, cause it was like a journaling type exercise. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me do this writing instead of sitting in front of the computer and typing. And he got it. He was like, this is cool.
So, yeah. So he liked that format where he didn't have to, you know, where he had to read your handwriting, your chicken scratch.
Yeah. I guess so.
Well, I like it too. And I like that format too, because you can make a notebook, you can make individual pages, you can make a notebook, like string several pages together, like you said, and send it out.
It's like having a infinite subject spiral notebook.
Yep.
You know, it's like instead of the five subject, like this is infinite subject. You can set up your folder. It's pretty cool. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
No.
They are not a sponsor yet.
So, yeah, yet is the key thing. So some key takeaways in this, I found it interesting and there were some things that I honed in on is part of bragging is not so much just telling people how much you know and how much experience you have. People fall into that trap all the time. What you've got to do is you've got to subtly, sometimes be subtle about your bragging. And the way you do that is enhance your skill set in how you deal with people. And one of the key angles the author talks about is having a sense of humor, which interesting statistic in here. Humor is one of the most cited factors managers consider when they consider one candidate over another. This is like it for most hiring companies out there. All things being equal, Sean, if you have the same skill sets or close to the same background, experience, skills, they've got three other candidates and they're looking at you and three other people, a sense of humor puts you way above the rest. And that's sorely lacking in this day and age. You know, no one's, unfortunately, people aren't funny in the day of social media, or people sometimes try to be funny and they're not. But there's an art of humor, and there's some examples of how you can develop. If you don't feel like you have a sense of humor, you should watch comedies. I've started going back and watching some of the old comedies, not new comedies, because new comedies to me aren't very funny. I like some of the old classics.
That's because you're old.
I know. But watch comedy that most people find humorous for the most part, that are popular comedies throughout the ages that stand the test of time, that people go back, watch again and again and again, and get some takeaway lessons from that. Also read people that write comedy, people that are writers or humorists, I guess they call them, you know, people that are funny, read them, follow them, read their writing style. I know you as a copywriter, Sean, you probably do that a lot. You read people who are humorous because there's elements to that in writing that are very persuasive. Learn how to tell stories, be self-deprecating, learn how to tell a good story. Talk about experiences where you were like the butt of the joke, or talk about experiences where you failed. Like, people don't want to do that for some reason. And companies or people that you're talking to find it very attractive if you are open and you're vulnerable, but you're also making fun of yourself. That self-deprecating humor, it's something that we've kind of lost the art of today. And it's too bad, because it really is a good quality in people. From all statistics, that sets you apart from anyone else when it comes to determining your unique advantage in the marketplace, where you're lined up with so many other people who are looking to get hired for a job, or whether you're getting hired as for a marketing gig with a company, or as a copywriter, as a, you know, marketing consultant, whatever. You know, be funny.
Well, I'll give you an example. Like a recent client that I had, when I applied for the position, I actually put on a unicorn onesie and did, cause they asked for like a 3-minute video or whatever. Sure. So I put on this unicorn onesie, and then I mean, you can't take somebody seriously if they're wearing a unicorn onesie, right? Like you just can't. So, and I kind of made the insinuation that I'm the unicorn. mm-hmm. for your business.
Ah, I like
it. You know?
It. Yep.
And kind of said a few things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I got the job. Like I got the job and, you know, did a couple of big projects with them and it went really well. And, you know, that's it. And it's interesting because it's a very like straight laced community, like, mm-hmm. or company.
Sure.
But the fact that I was able to push through all of that and still get the opportunity was fun. So,
and it took an incredible amount of, you know, confidence to be able to pull that off. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, but I'm like, you know what, if I want to come in here and be, you know, one of the things they were looking for was like, we want fresh ideas, creative ideas, things sure. like that. I was like, well, what's more creative than showing up to a, you know, an application video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not in a suit and tie or, you know, collared shirt, but like a unicorn onesie. Like that's, and that, you know, it stands out. You can't forget that.
Right.
You know, and it shows that I'm not so serious about myself that I'm like worried about it and those kind of things. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know, that was a great project and, it would have, I don't know if it would have happened or not, like had I not done that.
Probably not.
So,
but you definitely, they remembered you for sure. I mean,
yeah,
no doubt about it.
Yeah. So yeah, stuff like that. And, in fact, I'm going to launch this weekend a new TikTok character. Mm-hmm. For my coaching business.
Sure.
And it's kind of based on, I'll give it away here, but it's kind of based on the coach from the Goldberg TV series. Have you ever seen that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is right in our wheelhouse, right?
Cause
it's 80s themed.
Sure.
So I literally went out and found vintage coaching shorts, hat, that's polo great. Shirt, tube socks,
right?
The whole bit, whistle, clipboard. So I'm gonna start doing that this weekend for TikTok, and not expecting anything of it other than just like it's a place to have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and just be humorous, have fun, and you know, see what happens. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's funny because you know JP Sears. I think we've mentioned a couple times, but
oh, he's killed.
He was a serious life coach. Mm-hmm. And then one day he made a video making fun of life coaches and it went viral. And now he's a full-time sure. you know, YouTuber, touring comic, like all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's built this huge platform by not being serious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I love that. I think you're absolutely right. I think we need more humor in the world right now. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no doubt. We've said this over and over on this show. Like people want to be entertained. I mean,
they do. You know,
I go back to over and over to that quote from Dan Kennedy. People want two things. They want to be entertained and they want to be encouraged that their current worldview is correct.
Is correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. They don't want to be convinced of something new, something, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. They want to know that what they believe is already correct and they yep. want to be entertained at the same time.
Yep.
And that's what you see with all these pun. I mean, that's what Fox News is. That's what CNN is. Mm-hmm. It's entertainment to the worldview that you already have. Yeah.
Confirming everyone that's watching that exactly yeah. what their worldview is.
Yeah. It's not news. It's entertainment.
That's right. It's opinion and entertainment. Right.
Yeah. And Tucker Carlson is 100% opinion and entertainment.
Yeah. And he's very talented at what he does.
Absolutely.
Because he's very good. I mean, but it's all opinion. Yeah. It's all based on his
deadpan. He's got that great deadpan delivery and all that stuff.
Right.
It's awesome. It's awesome. You know?
He's mastered the art of looking completely shocked when people say things on his show. It's like what? So, yeah. It's, you've got to do something that really, you know, separates you from the pack. You know, humor is one of those lost arts. So practice it, read about it, watch shows, you know, even watch like you were just saying, even some of the entertainment that we watch, you know, cable TV, but I encourage you, like you were just saying, JP Sears, those are funny things to watch and get an idea, spend some time on TikTok or whatever, which,
you know, well, one of my favorite comedy channels, mm-hmm. and they're on Facebook a lot as far as the Facebook, whatever that is, the the videos, not just in the post, but Dry Bar Comedy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think they're out of Salt Lake or somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. So Dry Bar Comedy, I think, cause their comedy for the most part is pretty clean. Pretty clean.
Yeah.
So you can really watch. And then, also, I think we mentioned this on the show before, but you know, a couple of years ago, I took a class at UT in Knoxville about how to do stand-up comedy. And there's a formula to it.
It is.
And it's like, it's not just talent. I mean, I think you do have to have a little bit of an eye and an ear. Like, you have to notice things. I mean, that's what makes Seinfeld so great. He noticed the little things about people, but the formulas that comics use will actually help you spot those things.
Right. Yeah.
So one tool that you could use is a book called The Comedy Bible. Mm. And it actually teaches you how to write stand-up comedy.
Interesting.
And basically, the long and short of it is, you know how you do mind maps where you put a subject in the middle and then you draw lines out to the next thing.
Yeah.
So let's say you put family as the subject, or even let's just say business, right? Because we're kind of talking about landing business and that stuff. So
right.
Let's say even more specifically, let's say sales, since you're in sales, right? So what you do is you put sales in the middle of the page and then you start mind mapping. And there's a couple things that you do. Number one is you say sales is weird.
Yeah.
Sales is, there's three or four categories that they use that I can't think of right now off the bat, but they're like the four things that you start with.
Yeah.
And then so once you get that in your, it gives you a train of thought to go down that. Like, so how is sales weird? Like, what about sales is weird? You know, and you start looking for like patterns in your sales appointments and your sales calls and all that kind of stuff that is weird. And then you start crafting jokes around that, or sales is, awkward, or sales is ridiculous,
there's a guy that has done a fantastic job. He's got a podcast out called The Brutal Truth.
The Brutal Tooth would be good too. That'd be like a dentist podcast.
Yeah, that would be. That'd be a good dental implant podcast, orthodontics. Yeah, absolutely. This guy does The Brutal Truth about selling. And he's really good at this. He does these little mini, I follow him on LinkedIn. I don't listen to his podcast as much because his podcasts are a little bit longer. But if you follow him on LinkedIn, he's
now, those long podcasts are ridiculous.
I tell you, man, way especially too ones long for me.
Get up to an hour. Jeez.
But he does a fantastic. And here's what he does: he walks around his neighborhood, and with his iPhone, and just does. He records, so he'll play the part of the sales manager, and then the sales rep, and then the CEO of the company, and then the like the CFO of the company, and they're all having a conversation. So he'll record these different clips at different times, but he does a fantastic job of just like creating the humor of like sales managers, you know, their expectations of, you know, whether it's using your CRM software, you know, your, whether it's Salesforce or whatever CRM software you're supposed to be using. And, you know, they're always data heads, you know, sales managers, because they're always wanting the data, like how much, what the forecasts are going to be. And they want you to project what the forecasts are going to be. And the sales, you know, the people out there selling are like, I don't know. I'm just out here like, you know, trying to, you know, get in front of these prospects and sell the product, you know? Yeah. And so there's that back and forth, dichotomy, right. You know, that's going back and forth. So it's interesting. He does a really good job and makes it humorous. So it's really entertaining and he does a good job, but he makes them like these little TikToks, videos that are like short, like a minute and a half or so. And, puts them out on TikTok, LinkedIn, does a great job.
YouTube. Yeah. I just looked him up. He's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Do not go there right now. Stop it.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
So that's a great one. If you're in sales, I encourage you to listen to that or watch it. More so watch it, because he's got some really good takeaways. And it's entertaining. That's the key. People want to be entertained, and that's what he does.
Right. And I bet he can get in doors that other people cannot get in.
Absolutely.
Like, is he in sales?
I think he, like, this is his platform now. I think he used to be in sales, and I forgot the guy's name. You probably see it in front of you, but I think he's like, he's been in sales for years, but then he started this platform, The Brutal Truth, where he kind of like undercuts, you know, the traditional sales process and talks, you know, kind of, you know, examines the, you know, the stupidity of the whole process sometimes that it's involved in the selling process and the managers and the CEO that want to look, you know, everybody that's trying to please the person that's above them, and they're trying to please them with numbers and not really just, you know, not actual facts, you know, facts and figures, but, you know, projections and what they hope are going to be, are going to be sales coming down the pipeline.
We need to get this guy on the show.
That'd be great. Yeah. He'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So he's got a LinkedIn group. He's got a book, Maverick Prospecting or something.
Yeah. He does a good job.
And he's an old guy. Like, he's not some young influencer. Like, you know, he's just, and he's having fun. And like, I guarantee, I bet he could get in doors and conferences and stuff like that because people are like, oh, this guy's fun. Like, he would be entertaining. I'm willing to put him in front of my people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we all get so hung up on being serious, and I'm the worst at it. Like, you know, I try to get too serious, but I get the best results when I'm having fun.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
So lighten up, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Which leads me to my next, this is a great lead in because
perfect. It's just like I planned.
That's right. Sean, you planned it perfectly. But here's a great tip on for all of our listeners on how to take advantage or how to separate yourself or how to get your own distinguished advantage over the competition. We've already been talking about it. Obviously, injecting humor. Take an assessment of your own skill set, whether you know how to, you know, Sean, your background's obviously in copywriting. You know how to sell.
And sales.
Yeah, and sales. So you know how to do both. Those are skill sets. Yeah. So it's like skill stacking. You know how to sell, and you know how to sell on paper. I mean, those are like superpowers right there when you stack those on top of each other. But then, you know, you start looking at other advantages that you can offer, you know, out there, you know, things that you can bring to the table. So you look at things like, what are your interests? You know, whether it's, is it drawing, you know, drawing cartoons, animating, whatever, is it writing, you know, writing, you know, obviously that translates into obviously copywriting, podcasting. There's some distinct advantages that you can use to separate yourself from other people. As you know, and we talked about this, golf. You know, how do you use golf to leverage yourself? Well, you can use it in business all the time. And I wrote a book about that, Selling on the Green. Years ago, I said, how can I incorporate golf into and leverage this into obviously making money or winning, you know, winning customers or winning bigger clients? Write a book about it, but also utilize it, you know, take away some lessons. And how I didn't just write a book about it because I didn't write the whole book. What I did was I put a plan together around the whole concept of the book and then invited, you know, other people to contribute to that book that said how, you know, we want you to share your own experience and how you've used the game of golf to win business. So it was also a learning experience for me because I didn't have to write the book. I used their experience and I learned a lot from, you know, many of our other contributors on how they use the game of golf to, you know, promote their business or win clients through playing golf and things like that. So, you know, those are things that you can assess, you know, what are your strengths? What are your strong points and what are your interests? Podcasting is an interest of mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've utilized that to contribute to, you know, win business, win leads, win, you know, clients, corporate clients. And, you know, I'll talk about an example because we both teased it at the beginning of the show, kind of the reverse interview, what happened this week. I don't know.
Well, we'll save that for a second. Let's save that for a second. I want to make a point first. When you're looking at these skill assessments and thinking about that, it's important to note that it's probably going to be something that you almost overlook. because you're just so good at it and it comes so easy and it's probably even fun for you.
Right.
That's the thing that you need to leverage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like for me, writing, like I don't even like when I write emails for clients or when I write for clients, and they're like, oh my God, this is so good. Mm-hmm. I'm like, anybody can do that.
Right.
Like, and it almost like confuses me, like mm-hmm. why they would pay for that.
Yeah.
And then they'll send me something that they've written or, you know, I'll see something they've written in the past and they're like, this is what we've been using. And I'm like, oh, that's why you need
me. That's why you need me. Right.
That's
why you think. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and we take for granted that like what we're best at, we take for granted that anybody can do that because absolutely. We're so, because right. it's so easy for us most of the time.
Yep.
Not to say that golf is necessarily easy for you, but you're better at it than most people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you shoot in the 40s? Is that it? The 40s?
Yeah, I wish.
Did you see that the other day? Somebody shot 60 on the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Per That's round.
Amazing. Yeah.
And he was, yeah. I mean, he was like one putt away from the 59. Like, I know. Crazy.
It's crazy. The things that I love is seeing the masters at the game, like the big names who are so good, they mm-hmm. often have their days where they're way off, you know, just like yeah. anybody else. So
I've always said like the difference in a good golfer and a great golfer mm-hmm. is not the shot. It's the recovery shot.
That's right. Yeah.
If you watch any PGA tournament, any weekend, every one of them ends up in the woods. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Out of bounds practically. And it's the recovery shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes the difference.
It's so mental. I think of it like I almost think of it like a field goal kicker or a kicker in football. You know, the, mm-hmm. the field goal kicker is the guy that, you know, it's so mental. Once he hits a bad shot or misses that field goal,
yeah.
You're not focused on that. You're focused on the next kick that he makes because it can be so psychological
yeah.
that it gets in his head. So you're wondering, okay, how's this going to affect him? And you'll see it time and time again. You'll see some field goal kickers out there who miss a field goal that's within range and it just affects them. And the following one, they'll miss an extra point and it's like they go downhill.
Well, and the thing about field goals especially is that you're not kicking field goals usually when you're way ahead.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
You're usually like trying to catch up when you kick field goals. Absolutely. Like a lot of the times, right? Because otherwise you just kind of go for it. You're in that 20, 30, you just go ahead and go for it.
That's right.
And you know, if you can't, then you, whatever. So it's either like no pressure, like you're the 20 and it's
absolutely,
it's a chip kick.
Yep.
Kick chip shot. There mm-hmm. you go.
Chip shot.
The 12.9% is kicking in. or it's like a high pressure thing. Mm-hmm. Like we need this to go to move ahead or yeah. whatever.
Yep.
So
much like golf though. It's just mental recovery. Mm-hmm. Like you just yes. said, you know, you make that one bad shot and that's what separates a professional from an amateur. The professionals will make that they'll duff a shot and it looks ridiculous. And then they'll come back up and just like nail one, a hole in one.
And the amateur just continues to slide.
Right.
Right. And I think it's true in like a sales conversation or in an interview or you're trying mm-hmm. to land a client. Like yep. you say something stupid in the call where you're trying to land a client. And you get flustered and then you say something else and the next thing it's out of control. Or you be like, you know, you could say, oh, that was stupid what I just said. Can I say that differently? And using that humor self-depreciating, like, oh, I just said something really stupid. Do you mind if I re-say that?
That's right.
State that again. And they'll be like, that's cool. He nobody's going to say no to that.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and it's
all the recovery. Yeah, exactly.
So they're like, oh, this guy's going to admit his mistakes and he's going to own it and he's going to move forward.
Yep.
And all that happens like in an instant.
Right.
They don't even like consciously process that. I mean, some people will, but most people are going to be like, just this kind of subconscious, be like, that's kind of cool how he did that.
Yep.
Because they'd be scared to do it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That separates, I mean, it's it in every profession, whether it's professional golf, professional comedians, you know, you've seen comedians, they get in hot water for whatever they say, and they, you know, they either tank or continue to go downhill, or they shake it off and move on. Right. I mean, you see it time and time again.
Yeah. Or when they get heckled in a crowd, or if it's, you know, if it's live stand up and how they handle that makes the show better, or like, ooh, cringeworthy, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's unless you got something else, let's get into that tease that we did at the beginning, the reverse interview.
Yeah. So here's a good lesson on kind of flipping the script, because I'm in industrial sales, but I have no shortage of recruiters reaching out to me on LinkedIn that represent, you know, XYZ chemical company, and they're reaching out to me on a regular basis and saying, hey, we, you know, because I've got like 18 years of experience. So I've got like a long history of manufacturing experience in sales and marketing and all that stuff. And I've got like a, not just a resume, but like a portfolio of things that I've done. And people find that, like, I'll get recruiters that find that on LinkedIn, and they'll reach out to me. Even when I don't need, I'll still have, and I'm always open to talking to people. It's like, you'd be crazy, like, to say, no, I'm not interested, and you just walk away, because there's always opportunities. And the reason I say that, I had an opportunity this week with a company. They reached out to me. They wanted to, obviously, they were interested in hiring me for my manufacturing sales experience. I said, sure, I'll be happy to talk to you. I'm always happy to talk to people, because I like to learn, and I like to ask questions, and I like to kind of dig in. I'm one of those guys that's like the, you know, Columbo, the investigative guy that kind of digs deep into what you do and what makes you different from anybody else, even if I'm not even interested in your business and being a part of it.
I think you're more of a Magnum PI kind of guy.
Probably.
You know, I'm probably more of Monk. Yeah, there you go. You're probably more Magnum PI.
If I only had that, man, that cool Ferrari, I'd love it.
Especially if it's somebody else's.
Absolutely. How awesome is that? Yeah. Higgins, man.
Yeah.
But no, so I, you know, I had a company that said, you know, we're really interested. They reached out to me. Actually, it was last week. They reached out to me, said, we want to talk to you. We like your experience. You've got an impressive portfolio and resume. Actually, the guy that reached out to me was a recruiter with the, I don't know if you've ever heard the Sandler Sales Institute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they've done a lot of sales training.
Yeah.
They've been around a while.
So this was one of the Sandler sales trainer. His client happened to be one of the companies that needed a sales manager. So he reached out to me, said, would you be interested in talking to him? And I said, sure. So we set it up. I talked to him. And this is where, whether you're a copywriter or whether you're a marketer, LinkedIn is a great opportunity, because you can put your contact information out there. You can look, LinkedIn is a great place to look at companies who are looking for sales professionals, and you can see it. They list, like, if you click on the jobs thing on LinkedIn, you can see all these companies across the US that are hiring. And right now there's a lot, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of companies that need, like, are desperate for salespeople or sales professionals that know how to sell to come in and help them. But anyway, going back to this guy reached out to me. He said, this company's interested. They need a sales manager for this particular area. Here's what they're looking for. So I said, sure, let's set something up. I'll talk to him. He set it up. We talked. So he started talking about my experience, but then I flipped it. But what I did was I kind of flipped the interview on them and started asking questions on them, because usually what I tell people is, like, when I interview, you're looking at me and I'm looking at you as well to see if there's a good fit. But I started, you know, I had my questions all laid out. So I started asking them, you know, what is your market? Who's your competition? What is your unique selling advantage? What is your sales volume? You know, what are the opportunities? What industries that you, so we started, you know, covering all of that. And, and so we said, you know, I started assessing. I said, you know, let me think about this. And this might make sense. So we actually had a second interview. So we had a follow-up interview. And basically I told him on the second interview, I said, listen, I'm not interested in working for you as a sales professional. Because honestly, I don't think you can pay me enough just in from a sales standpoint. But what I can help you is in your opportunity, because what you're trying to do fits my, you know, fits a platform that I work in podcasting, you know, because one of their industry, you know, one of their big industries was in the composite sector. I said, well, I'm not interested in selling, but what I can do and what I can save you money, because you won't have to hire somebody to actually develop a sales territory. What I can do is offer you something that's probably a win-win, which is, you know, I have a platform that's got about 38,000 listeners worldwide. And I'm looking for, you know, companies like yourself that fit a specific niche that we can fill. And I can get your message out there to a lot of people. And here's the other thing. What I did was I had it set up like on a help a reporter page where I would submit a query, and I weekly get all of these composite manufacturing companies, like usually 10 to 20 companies reach out to me every week and say, you know, we'd like to be on your show. And a lot of these companies are startup companies. The industry that this company served was they were doing a lot of the outsource manufacturing for a lot of these companies. So it was a nice fit. I said, guess what? I give you a whole lot of leads every week just from this. Showed how the podcast, how developing these relationships through the podcast can be beneficial to them. And they're like, wow, this is great. You know,
yeah.
So let's talk again. Let's see what we can do and move forward. So I basically sold them on that advantage alone without really working for them, but working with them in conjunction. And he said, listen, I want to, you know, let's set up a follow-up meeting where I bring in the, you know, my boss, we talk about this and we move forward to doing some advertising and things like this with, you know, with your podcast. Yeah,
you basically go from, you know, them, you wanting them,
right,
to them wanting you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how you reverse the interview. Now they're like, yeah, I think we'd be good for that. Can you put us on that platform?
Yeah, exactly. Because I told him, I said, listen, I said, what you're looking for a guy that's out there. What you're looking for is not me. You're looking for a guy that's out there beating the bushes and, you know, coming up with leads, and you're paying him. First of all, you're paying him a base salary. You're paying him commission on top of that. But then you're having to pay him, you're having to pay medical, dental, you know, all of these other things.
Company car expenses.
Absolutely. All these other expenses. Yeah. I said, listen, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in helping you because I think there's a good fit. And here's how I can help you.
Pause right there for a second. Like, as soon as you say, I don't need you, I'm not interested or anything in that realm, people are like,
yeah,
whoa.
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, it's like my buddy Ryan always says, the hot girl of the dance. Like, you know, everyone wants the hot girl of the dance, but she's got all the power.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so you become the hot girl at the dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when you don't need or want those people.
Absolutely.
And by the way, you don't, and this is really important, and I was talking with my coach about this last week. No matter what shape you're in right now, you do not need any one client. No. You need a client, maybe, depending on where you're at with, you know, your career and all that kind of stuff. But you don't need any specific client.
Sure.
Right? Like, you'll be fine. You'll survive. You'll figure something out. You'll do it. So when you come across as needy, it just immediately turns people off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the more that you can be like, you don't need me. I don't need you. You need me.
Yeah.
And here's why.
Yeah.
Because I built this or I've done this or whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a podcast platform for that to be true.
No.
You could just have great results. Mm-hmm. Right. Or the right, you know, you've got a list of contacts over the years that you could get in front of for
absolutely
them. But I mean, and I also want to, just from a copy standpoint, like when I hear you talking about, you know, this salesperson that they've got to hire and they got to pay, I mean, you could really dig into that and be like, you know, you know, Mr. Smith, you're, you know, the CEO is like, you're like, so let me ask you, Mr. Smith, if he was really hustling, like how many prospects do you think he'd get in front of in a week?
Yeah.
he'd probably be like, you know, if he was really hustling, maybe five, you know, getting the front of the door. It's like, okay. So over the course of a year, five times 52, and this is where I do like the Columbo thing.
Yeah.
You know, you do it slow enough that they can do the math ahead of you. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an inception thing. So they get the thing. So it's like, okay, five. So this is how I would say it. I would be like, all right, so five a week, 52 weeks in a year. So five times 52, let's see, that's, and they're already thinking in their head, that's like 250 something.
Sure.
Right. And sometimes they'll even say it's like 250. I'm like, yeah, about 250. Cool. Well, my podcast gets in front of 38,000 every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And they're like, ooh, wow. That's a big difference.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And obviously it's not apples to apples, but it is exposure, and that's what they're looking for, especially in these bigger industrial things, like, cause they know it's an exposure relationship.
Sure.
You know, type of game. So yeah.
Yeah. And if whether you're a marketer, copywriter, podcaster, I don't care. I mean, you can do this because companies out there right now, they are desperate. And I can tell you from my experience, they're absolutely desperate to have good salespeople or people that can generate good qualified leads that they can turn into business. And that doesn't always mean salespeople. That means marketing people, that means copywriters, that means people, anybody that can bring new business in, because as we know, there's obviously right now, there's a shortage of workers in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Now, the higher level type, it's not as much in the higher professions like sales, marketing, and things like that. But you'd be amazed if you get on LinkedIn and if you get on some of these other sites and
But lead gen never goes out.
No.
I don't care what's going on in the world, how good it's going, how bad it's going. Lead gen never goes away.
Never. There's always a demand of companies out there looking for new business, and
yes,
they need qualified people that can help them. All they're looking for, they don't care if it's a salesperson, if it's marketing, if it's, you know, copywriting, whatever. If you can
PR,
yeah, if you can help them bring in new leads, new leads that turn into business, they'll talk to you. So, absolutely.
And those, you could be a blog content writer.
Yeah.
And if you can pitch that well and show them like, yeah, I use keywords, I can do this, I can do this. And it'll, you know, over time it could generate 30,000 eyeballs.
Right.
They're going to be like, okay, like you can sell that, you know, because the average salesperson is going to get in front of 5 to 10 people a week.
Absolutely.
At best. And a lot of those are going to be repeat. So it's not going to be like 5 to 10 new people every week.
Yeah.
Whereas with good content, good marketing, you know, the people that listen to this show or, you know, have some of these skills more than likely, it's far, we kind of forget how valuable that is, but it's the thing that every business is looking for, is to be able to generate eyeballs on their products and services or company or whatever.
Sure.
That's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
And mainly because a lot of them don't even understand, like not even getting into back end and cross selling and upselling, all that kind of stuff. Most companies, believe it or not, especially when you get outside of internet marketing, are still just like one channel, new customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where do I find the next new customer?
Right.
So if you can help them with that and then bring in the other stuff that we've talked about in the past, like here's how you upsell, here's how you cross sell, here's how you create new packages, like all these other things, you're worth a fortune.
And on top of that, you're helping them generate business, but you're also saving them money. You think about that, you know, because again, what did I just say? We were talking earlier, the cost of hiring a new person, that is actually an employee. Like benefits, I mean, they've got, again, health, dental, salary, commission.
Because they're traveling, all kinds of expenses.
Company car, you know, all of those, all of that overhead that goes into that. And I said, you know what I told them? I said, listen, you don't have to do that. I don't want a job. I don't need a job with you. I said, I'll generate leads for your company. And I know I can through my podcast. And here's what it would be. I'll charge you a monthly subscription rate or a monthly advertising fee on my podcast. And mm-hmm. then you can decide somewhere between, we can decide a commission rate based on the, I've got a way of tracking, everybody that I bring into your company easily that I talk to. And if we can, if you can give me something in between in the range of 8-15% commission rate on that, I feel like that's a win-win. It's a win-win for you. It's a win for you guys. It's a win Absolutely. For me, so.
Yeah. And you just sit in front of that microphone right there and you just
talk.
You don't have to travel. You don't have to go anywhere.
Exactly.
There's no expenses to being reimbursed, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a win for you. It's a win for them. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. So that's my reverse interview tactic as you've got the ticker running across. So,
yeah.
But yeah, look for opportunities. You got LinkedIn out there that are loaded with opportunities. You've got so many of these recruiting sites, you'd be amazed. You put your information out there just as someone who has experience, and you'd be amazed that like recruiters that reach out to you and go with companies, because that's job is like to feed companies, talented people that they feel like can help them grow their business. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even hardly go on LinkedIn. I need to step up my LinkedIn game, but mm-hmm. I just logged on here and I look and like 47 people in the last week have viewed my profile.
Sure.
Right. 128 Absolutely. Have viewed my articles mm-hmm. and those have to be 2 or 3 years old. Like I haven't done anything. Right. Yeah. I showed up in 28 searches.
Yeah.
And that's without doing anything.
Oh, I know.
So you can imagine if you get more active, you're going to start showing up, like you said, in recruiters' feeds and, you're just like, yeah, I'll talk to them. Sure. Yeah. And then you use the reverse interview and you show them how you can help them in a way they weren't thinking about.
Right. Yeah. You do the whole takeaway. The takeaway is important. Yeah. I'm pretty happy where I am. I don't need a job, but what I do... Right. I do like the opportunity because I've looked at your profile. I think you have a mm-hmm. great company. I think you have a good, your product looks good. I think I have mm-hmm. a market that I could put that in front of and I'm not interested in working for you. I'm interested in working with you. That's the key.
Yeah.
They like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't cost them. It's no risk and it's a no risk situation for them. They hire somebody and that doesn't work out, guess what? It's no risk. Say you don't generate a lead for them. They're not out of anything, right? I mean,
even if they pay you like the subscription fee and you don't generate a lead, they've done plenty of advertising platforms that didn't work out. Absolutely. Like, right. But it's still cheaper than, I forget the statistics, but the cost of onboarding and offboarding an employee is
tremendous.
It's ridiculous amount. Like it's not just the salary. It's everything that goes along with it. Human resources department, all the stuff that goes along with it and the liability. Like when you bring somebody on and then fire them, there's liability there. They could file unemployment and insurance, and then they got to pay that. And so there's so many things that, if you've never run that type of business, you may not be aware of.
Yep. Absolutely.
But you need to know that's part of the appeal for you as an independent contractor or lead generator. You can be very confident that it's a deal for them to use you as an independent contractor or lead gen source.
Absolutely. Win-win all the way around. 1099.
Yeah.
A lot of companies would love to do that. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a good show, man. That's good stuff in there.
Anything else before, I guess we're at the 1 hour mark here.
I don't think so. I think we're good. I just finished my beer. So I guess we're done.
Well, that's a wrap, guys. Thanks for listening. As always, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast platforms, Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Spotify, you name it. And Sean's got the video up there. He's doing all the production, the live production with our little ticker going across. So we'll have the video up over at persuasionbythepint.com and on all of our episodes. And we appreciate you guys listening and tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
All right. Good stuff.